Strategic Christian Services is pleased to present the series Spiritual Warfare. This is Session 5, Offensive Warfare, Building on Your Strengths, with Dennis Peacock.
All right, we are dealing now with offensive warfare, building on your strengths. Now, I've said this earlier and I'll say it again. I have a major goal. I want to see the church fighting on the enemy's side of the field. I think if the truth were known and we saw how far behind we really are in the game, I don't think we can handle it. I really don't. I mean, think about your city. I think about Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa is a relatively, quote-unquote, godly city. But this city is run so far away from God, it isn't even funny. As we get into trying to deal with the problems of the city, they don't define the problems biblically. They don't even know what the issues are. As we got into reconnaissance and what they're doing for the poor, do you know that there's probably nobody in your city in an elected position that even has a philosophy as to the nature of poverty? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? They don't even know what causes poverty. And they're throwing millions of dollars at it, hoping that if they throw enough money at it, it'll go away. Now, what is it going to take for us to get to those men and women in leadership in such a way that they can hear us and that we know our craft well enough to give them real answers? Man, that's a big war. That's a lot of ground to cover. You know, that's a 50-yard pass. That's not a 3-yard run up the middle. That's a 50-yard pass to get on that side of the field. Now, when you begin to see that, it begins to give you a generational perspective, which deals with ego. 20 years ago, we were the ones who were going to do it. Now that we understand the nature of the game, we're praying that our kids will do it. And if they don't do it, God willing, our grandkids will do it. But we're not going to get on the other side of the playing field all that quick. And we're not going to get there with a defeatist attitude. And we're not going to get there as victims. The only way we're going to get there is by getting on the offense, which again means we got to study war. Now, I've noticed one thing about ability in fighting. The harder you practice and the smarter you practice, the luckier and the more anointed you get. Isn't that interesting? How many of you have noticed that about life? The harder you work and the smarter you work, the luckier you get and the more anointed you become. My teaching part of my ministry began by the Holy Spirit when I was memorizing Scripture out delivering flowers in our flower business days, which is a whole other story. I'd get the Bible and I'd memorize verses between deliveries, driving around the Bay Area. And one day the Holy Spirit said something really important to me. I got really excited. I got back to the shop, ran in to tell Jan, and I forgot. And I said, I started praying in tongues. I said, God, call that to my remembrance. I quoted John 14. Whatsoever things He said, He'll call to your remembrance. And He said, I'm not going to bring it back to you. I said, why? He says, because I want you to get a pencil and paper, and from now on when I talk, I want you to write. He said, I'm not going to say anything more to you till you show up with a paper and pencil. Next day, I got in that van at 6:30 in the morning. I had my little spiral pad and my pencil, and I said, yay, Lord, go. Now, this is an honest God. I'm telling you the gospel truth. I would not be here today teaching if I didn't show up with that spiral pad and that pencil. The reason I'm here is because I started making notes on what God said. And I noticed this. The more notes I took, the more I knew. What a coincidence. How many of you businessmen know the harder you work, the luckier you get at business? Isn't it amazing? It's a phenomena. Golly gee, how did that happen? Okay? Now, let me say this to you as a fighter. You are not going to be one whit better fighter if you don't start training. All I've done is tickle your imagination. Some of you, all I've done is open up possibilities. I've opened up, not me, And I'm not saying this to be humble. I really know it's true. God forbid me. Not me, but the Holy Spirit has opened up some possibilities. Now you got to go through. You got to show up with your spiral pad and your pencil and start doing your homework. What are His attacks? What are your defenses? What are your gifts? What do you know? What are the attacks He does on your kids by name? What are the defenses that God has given them that you can see as a parent? If you're going to become a warrior, you're going to have to study war. Friend, this is not Isaiah 65. I ain't beating my sword into no plowshare. I want my sword as sharp as I can get it. Because we are not in a time of peace. We're in a time of war. And I want to be prepared. And God knows, listen, as I teach this, you say, Dennis, man, you're a warrior. Look at you, your background, you got all that stuff. Jan and I are laughing this morning. If you had any idea how much I, by nature, avoid confrontation, it'd blow your mind. When Jan and I got married, one of the things that blew her out was when we would get in a hassle, I would get up and leave. That's the truth. And my solution to the problem was to get away from it for a few hours and come back, thinking it would have gone away. Because I'd mellowed out, obviously the problem was gone. I mean, it made sense to me. It took me years before God was able to get me to confront. I'll tell you why, because I know some of you men are wired like me. Confrontation meant kill and destroy. I mean, it's true. Ladies, in this thing we're doing on real men, I'm not saying that that's a characteristic of real men, but I'm saying the nature of a man, more than you ladies know, is if you get us aroused in the flesh, it's kill and destroy. And it's very hard for a man to learn how to verbally not kill and destroy, because that's the way we're wired. God made us that way as your protectors. And that's a fact. Now, to learn how to deal with conflict in a godly way has been an interesting journey for me, especially when I'd rather avoid it. I'd rather just be left alone and praise God. If there's a conflict, do what seems good to you. Go ahead on. Praise God. Hallelujah. What's the problem with that? You can't lead people and do that. You can't father children and do that. You can't be a husband and do that. I wish you could. No, I don't. Slap my mouth. All right. I want to talk about some random laws. Jesus said in Luke 14, 26 to 32, He gave four major things. Talked about relational priorities, talked about strategic warfare, talked about resource gathering, talked about the cross. And He said, if you can't practice these disciplines, you will not be able to be My disciple. He said, you cannot be My disciple. Now, we read that as in He won't let you. That has nothing to do with what He's saying. In the Greek, what He's saying is, you won't be in shape. We've been meeting for about a week, some of us, trying to get our trip together and some other stuff. And I've waxed and waned and even in some distortion right now myself. I know that. Weird things sometimes come out of me right now. When I'm in a time of transition, I got to watch because I'll go off on tangents because I'm consumed with something. But I understand one thing. I understand right now the body of Christ, or at least a number of people in the body of Christ and a number of people right here, are on the threshold of having to come up to a whole new level of play in the Spirit. And that's a fact. Something is changing in the Spirit. The game is changing. And when the game changes, you've got to come up on a whole new level of discipline and a whole new level of tightness and a whole new level of getting your trip together if you're going to play. Now, this is the real me. This really is the real me. I have to guard my speech because the real me can get a little rough sometimes. God help me. He's working on me still. If I hit my thumb, I don't curse, by the way. That's not my style. I just sometimes say things to emphasize my convictions. That actually is true. That I don't swear. I'm not saying that to the glory of God. I'm just saying I don't swear, but I will say things for emphasis sometimes. But I have not, I don't know where I got into all that, but God, are you trying to convict me in front of all these people? Some of you want to say, but here's what I'm trying to say. I have not got on all those darn airplanes and eaten all that stuff and given up my sex life and given up my children to not get to play on the level I want to play. That is not going to happen. Now, even as I say that, I know there are spirits that hear me say that. And I have to be prepared to deal with spirits. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about demonic spirits. I have to be prepared to back up those convictions. Because I will back up those convictions. Some of you have had your tail kicked every way but right by God and the devil. And God is waiting to bring you to the point where you say in the bottom of your heart, I have not gone through this to play on anything but the highest level. Now, God, show me the reps I got to do to play there, and I'll pay the man. You come to the point where you've paid enough, that a little bit more don't mean squat. I paid enough, a little bit more doesn't matter, because I won on that field. I can even now, in my spirit, see part of what that field looks like. I can hear it. And I'll tell you something, and I'm not saying this because, you know, I know as I'm as vulnerable and as human and as sinful as any other human being. But there's a lot of guys who won't make it to that field, who are leaders, because it's going to take a different set of characteristics than the ones they've been building on. And I'm not saying anything oblique to anybody. One of the things the Lord said to me, 1979, December 79, we're going in the 80s, and I said, Lord, do you have a word for me? He says, yeah, I got a couple, but one I want you to know. He said, the leaders of the 90s will not be the leaders of the 80s because the game is changing. It's going to require a new kind of player and a new set of conditioning. Now, when I hear that, it makes me want to find out what the rules are and get in condition because I paid too much, and I'm not bragging. Listen, that's not for you to say, Dennis, what a hero you are. You know, Dennis, you're a great guy and blah, 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 blah. On one level, the honest to God truth is I don't even really care what you or anybody else thinks. This is between me and God. This is between me and God. And my thing with Him is, hey, man, this is not paying you because I'll never pay you for salvation. But I do want you to understand I've paid enough. I must play on a field that you've shown me. I must. And I know the people who come to these conferences are people who think like that. Or you wouldn't come. You're not going to hear somebody talk like me if that isn't in you. Now, God is saying something to us. I don't know what exactly He's saying to you. I don't know exactly what He's saying to me, but I want to find out. I know that the level of play is going up. And I want to respond, whatever that means. Whatever sin I got to get rid of, whatever adjustments, I want to respond because I want to play. A couple of quick things. Laws of occupation. If you take a territory, you must have the resources to hold it. Deuteronomy 7:22 said, don't take more land than you can occupy, lest the beasts of the field multiply. There are men and ministries around this country right now, even as we speak, who've got themselves into massive building programs. They're herniating. I've been in that situation. I've taken land that I could not hold. I never want to do that again. I never want to do that again. I never want to bleed and bust because I was presumptuous and stupid and prideful and took more territory than I could occupy in the Spirit. I've done that before. I won't do that ever again. I only want to take land that I can guard. If I can't guard it, I don't want it. Now, there's always going to be people who try and give you something you can't occupy. We've got to learn to discern in the Spirit that even if somebody gives you something, it doesn't mean you should take it. Because if you take it, you got to guard it. You got to have the resources to occupy it. I know I'm a man that's susceptible to that kind of stuff because I'm aggressive. And it means I got to watch very carefully what I go after. Because if you can't bring stewardship to it, it's sin to take it. If you're going to wake somebody up, you better be able to control it. You say, oh my God, if we could only get King Kong saved. What's the problem with saving King Kong? Once he's saved, what are you going to do with him? Anybody here up to discipling King Kong? Okay, we need to measure our strength. Measure what we can do. We should only fight lions between us and Father's front door, Judges 14. Samson killed a lion between he and his father's front door. Now, you will always be given the opportunity to be drawn into other people's fights. Don't go. Especially as leaders. I'm saying this to you as leaders. Those of you that are leading numbers of people. One of the greatest temptations that will come to you consistently is people trying to draw you into their fights. I do not want to be drawn into somebody's fight. I don't want to be drawn. Here's Jesus walking down the street, Luke 14. Man comes to him and says, Master, I've got a dispute with my brother. Will you come and settle it? Jesus basically says, that's not my fight. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, wouldn't you want to help Jesus understand the nature of his responsibility as God? They say, I'm sorry, God, what did you say? Now, let me help you out. Jesus, you are God, right? Yes, I'm God. Well, then why won't you settle my dispute? Because you're not ready to have me settle your dispute, and you're a waste of my time. I got better things to do. That's God talking. How many of you know that some people in some situations need to really go through the laundromat before they ever should get your attention? Is anybody in here besides me learn through counseling that most counseling doesn't work? What do you think about counseling? I think it's a good exercise in futility. What do I believe in? I believe in massage to smash people. I believe massage works. I believe counseling doesn't work. Can I get a witness? Okay. Getting drawn into fights you shouldn't be involved in. Seldom fight in uniform. It only draws fire. Okay? One of the things that scares me when I see certain public Christian figures who are continually fighting in their red coat. Jesus slipped through the crowd. Jesus did not wear a red coat. He was so hidden in his scabbard that when Judas came to betray him in the garden, he had to come up and kiss him to even identify who he was. He had no lightning coming out of his ears. There was no glaze in his eyes. How many of you ever met somebody who's really spiritual, Barry? Praise God. I remember one time I met a man. Won't even get close because you might get him. I met a man who, when I was introduced to him, his eyes dilated. Boom. And I just looked at him. I said, are you for real? Or if he doesn't identify how spiritual he is by his eyes, it's in him. Is the inflection in his voice. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Are you feeling okay? Jesus was so well hidden because He didn't fight in uniform. Why? Because if He fought in uniform, people would follow Him for the wrong reasons. If He fought in uniform, it might prevent the people from wanting Him crucified. And because Jesus is the master fighter, He had to make sure that He got to the cross. Now, once you've identified where you're going, you see, it's only, just hear me if you can hear this. The only men in ministries that really advertise themselves are the ones who don't know where they're going. The ones who know where they're going hide. Warfare and corporiety. Most of what we've said up to this point deals with individual war techniques. But friend, in the New Covenant, the war is corporate. There isn't anybody in here, while nobody can fight your battles for you, God has called us to be a people. And He's called us to fight our battles corporately. I am not a whole person, and I'll tell you something, I'm not a balanced person, and I don't care. And if you think you're a balanced person, you're a fool. Because God doesn't make balanced people. You've always suspicioned that, haven't you? The balance is in the wheel, not in the spokes. You don't balance the spokes, you balance the wheel. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. What God is trying to make is a wheel that is balanced. Where I am out of sorts, or where I'm weak, where my gaps are, that's where you fill me in. Where you're weak, I fill you in. And the goal is to find out the ones that God has made wheels together. The New Testament is a journey from I to us, from me to ours. It's learning how to function in corporiety. Now, there's a lot of talk right now about covenant. And a lot of that talks about covenant in the context of being spiritual. I think it's spiritual, but I think you're missing the point. The point of corporiety is it takes corporiety to survive on the field we're going to play. You will not play on the field that we're going to talking about covenant. You will only survive on that field because you've learned how to walk in it. Now, what does that mean? Jan and I'm going to let you know on a secret. Jan's a little weird. Now, if she was speaking, she'd say, I'm going to let you in on a secret about Dennis. He's a little weird. Because our perspective is very different on some things. Now, as God brings us into maturity, the two becoming one flesh, it requires me to do the hardest of all things. That is, give up my own perspective as being the ultimate point of my personal reference. God said to me one day, He said, do you think you have enough trust in Jan and the kids that if you got into an ultimate life and death situation, you could tell them to stay in one place that seemed crazy to them and not make one sound in a situation that was life and death? Do you have enough trust that they'd do it? I've been in a situation or two like that with my kids where you're in a situation and it's don't move. And there's got to be enough authority in you that when you say that, there's no discussion. It's shut up and freeze. Stand up, Jim. In covenant relationship, there's stuff that she sees that I don't see. Now, the more I am used to being dependent and reliant on my discernment and my understanding, and the stronger my perception is, the harder it's going to be for me to receive what she sees that I don't see. Now, to play on the field where we want to play, God is moving us from individual to corporate so that we've got to know when to say, you know, This is what I see, and I see it 10,000%, but I'm going to lay that down because experience and the Holy Spirit has told me that if I can't trust what you see, what I see is not enough to make the journey. Now, I not only have to go through that with Jan, I'm thinking about a conversation I had with Rachel. We put Rachel in a public high school 1 year. Some of you suck air when I say that. You say, how could you possibly do that? I'll tell you why we did it, because it was the will of God. And I'd do it again. I'm not saying you should, it was for Rachel. And we had a conversation one night, and I thank God I was home that night and I wasn't on the road. I've always seen the Holy Spirit have me home when I needed to be home, and I worship you, Jesus, for that even as I speak. And we had a conversation that changed her life because she took upon her my perspective. She trusted me enough to give up what she saw and exchange it for what I saw. And because she exchanged it and took my perspective, it brought life. Corporate warfare requires that we do that. Not always, but sometimes. I believe I'm here today because over the years we've learned sometimes to say, I'm full of stuff and I'm going to have to believe what you say. I don't see it that way. And I may even privately don't believe it, but I believe it. Because corporiety requires that. There is safety in counsel and in a multitude of counsel. We are going to need intercessors in the realm of spirit beings and dealing with them. We're going to need prophets in the realm of strategy. We're going to need motivators in the realm of mobilizing people. We're going to need governors in the realm of bringing order and harmony. We're going to need visionaries in the realm of gathering resources. We're going to need administrators in the realm of the execution of plans. We're going to need a theology that is strong. I see and I've seen a lot of stuff. Now, I'm not pressing at anybody. Let me just pick on the prophetic movement. A lot of activity in the last 5 years about the prophetic movement. And I'd name different names and basically all know who I'm talking about. When you've been at war for a little while, you learn to drink no wine before it's time. Because you cannot really tell what something is until it's old enough to bear fruit. And because a tree has come up with a lot of excitement, you still don't know what it is until it's fruit-bearing age. Most things in nature do not, at least trees, do not bear fruit for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Now, the only reason that you have to jump on a bandwagon quick is if you're in a hurry. But if you're not in a hurry, you don't need to get on any bandwagons anymore. Because if it's God, God will never force you to get on something until you really have discerned what it is. Now, I believe in the prophetic movement. But I do want to say this. No prophecy is of any private interpretation. And no prophecy ever exceeds the written word of God. And in any movement where the focus is on the prophetic word rather than the word of God, count me out. I'm going to sit on the sideline and wait for the thing to crash and get adjusted and rebuilt. And when its focus is on the Word of God primarily and the prophetic Word to augment it, then count me in. Now, I'm not slamming anybody or anything. All I'm saying is warfare requires that you learn to wait to discern what something is before you give yourself to it. And when I get around new people and things, I'm especially interested in corporiety because I've been wrong before. And my brothers or my wife will see things I do not see. I do not claim to see all things. There's a lot of things I don't see. What I do see, I see. But what I don't see, I don't see. But that doesn't scare me, because I got people who do see. Ladies, those of you that are married to pastors, how many times have you nearly broken your husband's ribs because he wouldn't listen to you about the nature of this sister who needed counsel? If she really needed counsel, she'd have gone to your wife. Hello. Jan can smell opportunism in a female at 1,000 yards. I may smell it at 50 feet. She can smell it way out. JR's got a good nose. There's been numbers of people who wanted to eat out of me, but who is JR? JR who? I think about it. Situation, a man came, the sun rose and set out of my teaching. Problem is, he didn't want anything to do with anybody I was related to. You see, I pay attention to the way people talk to my secretary, because the way they talk to my secretary tells me what they're really after. I pay attention to the way people talk to Jan or my kids on the phone. If they dismiss them, they really only want to deal with me, they ain't going to get me, because I know what that means. I've learned over the years to understand the nature of that signal. Anybody who, whatever I have in God, wants to share out of what I have, you got to buy into the picture of what I'm joined to. If somebody is only making a beeline for you and does make a beeline for your kids or what you're joined to, friend, that's a terrible signal, and you better learn how to read it. Because that person will give you nothing but trouble, because they're there for the wrong reasons. Warfare learns to identify who's who and what's what. I think because we're running out of time, we're going to talk about choosing our own fights and fighting on our own terms. I want to go ahead and say one thing about that right now as we close. I don't know what to do about this, and I don't even know how to put it in Scripture. Maybe some of you will be able to give me a verse. There is a place that I feel called to go, and the guys I'm walking with feel called to go. We have been dancing around it for several years because I walk with bruised men. Those are the only kind of men I want to walk with. You know, one of the things that you do when you size up who you can walk with is how many scars they have. No scars, see you later. Too many scars, see you later. I'm dead serious. There's a whole teaching behind what I just said. I'll give you 5 minutes of it. But we were talking about where we want to go. And I said, this is what I said. And this came right out of me. This came out of me. How many of you know you're the most in the Spirit when you're the most you? Can you hear me? When you're the most who God made you is when you're most in the Spirit. When you try and get in the Spirit, you've never been farther from the Spirit. Because God is a good manufacturer. And He made you to walk in the Spirit. And when you find yourself in the Spirit. And I said to the brothers this, I said, look, in many ways I'm a nice guy. And I couldn't do what I'm doing if I didn't have faith for people. Brothers on my case, because I see people by what they could be more than what they are. And that's the nature of a visionary. And I got enough visionary in me, I see what people could be more than I see what they are. And that's been a challenge to me. And thank God I walk with some people who see what people are but don't see what they could be. And between us, we get whole. But I said, I will only go on this journey if I can operate out of one thing I know and trust. Here comes the 500-pound gorilla. He wants me. I'm getting down into what I know. To go where I want to go, I am going as a street fighter. And I'm no longer going to tell myself nice things about people, because this journey is too important to get lost in wanting people to be nice or trying to put things on people that they aren't. Now, that doesn't mean I can't be fooled. But there are some things in God I don't believe I can be fooled by, because I have learned my craft about some things that I recognize that when somebody does that, I know what that means. I know what that means. Now, that may sound hard, but I'm speaking to every man and every woman on their own level. to go where you need to go, some of you are going to have to come out of cotton candy reality and drop down into something real deep in your spirit called the way it really is. The way it really is. Not the way we want it to be, not the way we wish it was, but the way it really is. Those who are going to be on their feet in the barroom brawl that's coming to the body of Christ are going to be those who live on this level. Because Jesus promised that the deception would get so strong as the days progress that the very elect would be deceived if it was possible. That means we got to drop down to whatever it is you know in your gut that isn't good, bad, ugly. It just is. Spiritual warfare no longer is something that happens to you. It's something that you make happen to the enemy. God grant you and I the wisdom to hear what the Spirit is saying. I close with this. I hope this doesn't sound megalomaniac or egomaniacal or anything like that. I actually believe, I came into this believing that the Holy Spirit would release a sound about warfare that has not yet been released in this nation. Friend, I've heard most everybody's teaching on spiritual warfare. I have never heard what we're talking about here. I believe that when the Holy Spirit releases something new, there is a responsibility that goes with it, and that it is a beginning sound of a new level of warfare that God wants to take His kids into. I don't think I'm something special because I sounded it. I was created to sound this, and the thing is, I didn't even understand it till I got into it and saw what it was. The point is this. God is making a sound to His people saying, come up higher, come up to a new level of life. Believe that if you'll train, you will be able to attack instead of defend. You'll be able to occupy instead of hold the fort. The Holy Spirit is releasing something new to us. It is going to require a new level of work. It's going to require spiral pads and pens, taking notes on the warfare that goes on in you and around you. It's going to require a new level of identifying your skills, your resources, and your weaknesses. It's going to take a new level of corporiety, of identifying where we are strong and where we are weak, and who we need to connect with to cover our weaknesses and lend our strengths. Jesus said, gates of hell shall not prevail against the church I build. In those years, a sound went out in the body of Christ that called God's children up to war. There was a sound of war in the camp. And the war was not that the enemy was attacking. The war was the sound of God that said, let God arise and let His enemies be scattered because the body of Christ is coming. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Strategic Christian Services, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Strategic Christian Services offers a wide variety of other educational materials and training schools designed to help you live life to its fullest. For more information on our products and services, please call us at 1-800-700-0605. Join us online at www.gostrategic.org or write to us at Post Office Box 2709, Santa Rosa, California, 95405.